الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Muharram has come upon us. Once again, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us another opportunity to experience the bad mic system and also experience true love. Imam Hussein teaches us anything, any love that includes other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say in poetry, they say it's not real love. Imam Hussein alayhi salam taught us what real love is all about. And that's why his message has remained till today. His memory has remained till today. 1400 years after his tragic death and martyrdom, his story is still fresh and new to us, as if. Anything that has Allah in it stays, and anything that does not have Allah in it ceases to exist. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانَ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ الجلال والإكرام. The only thing that remains is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and anything that's attached to Him. Having said all of that, brothers and sisters, I thank Allah for this opportunity to be amongst all of you and to inshallah embark on a little journey in these 10 days together. The brother was introducing me. It sends shivers down my spine. Wherever you go, they introduce you and they make it sound like you're somebody. No, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how much you've studied, no matter what you've done in life, all that matters is how much you've gotten closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I thank the brothers for that introduction. But as I said in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everything. Inshallah, we have to all connect to Him. What I've chosen to speak about in these 10 days is something that I'm very passionate about, and I've been speaking about it a lot here and there, because I feel like this message has to spread around. Brothers and sisters are getting more and more involved these days, in this day and age that we're in, getting more involved in the environment that they live in. You will find that Muslims now are getting involved even in politics, whether local or sometimes even, it might be even a little national. And the more we go forward, the more you find this concept. The more you find people asking, hey, why should we not get involved? Now, the thing is that, and this is not the topic I'll be talking about, this is just an introductory point. As we go on, you will find that people will put the label and the banner of Imam Hussein on whatever they do. It's become the thing nowadays. Where if you want to have a food drive, you will have Imam Hussein's name on it. If you want to get involved in local politics, you have Imam Hussein's name on it. Is this working? Yes? If you, whatever it is that, if any social services that are provided, Imam Hussein's name is put on it. All of this is wonderful, brothers and sisters. Really it is. No one can question the beauty of such endeavors. Inshallah, the brothers and sisters can bear with the mic will fix up, inshallah. No one doubts how wonderful these initiatives are and endeavors are. Okay, so the name of Imam Hussein is put on it. It blesses it even more. So as we see brothers and sisters getting more involved on one hand, on the other hand, you find brothers and sisters putting the name of Imam Hussein on whatever they do, which is also super awesome, alhamdulillah, that we acknowledge that if we're going to do anything for humanity, why not put Imam Hussein's name on it, who saved humanity, saved Islam? What I want to try to do in these few nights that I'll be speaking here is to just share with us and discuss the things that Imam Hussein alayhi salam himself said on his way from Medina to Kufa. Imam Hussein also is spearheading an initiative to save Islam. And his name is on this initiative, right? So If I, in the future, 1,400 years later, I'm going to do something in the name of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, let's make sure that I'm doing it the way he would have done it. Sometimes you look here and there, you feel like, okay, if this person, this brother or sister knew what Imam Hussein had said, they might have done things a little differently. Sometimes you feel like, no, they're doing exactly the way they're supposed to be doing it. If they knew what Imam Hussein had said, it would have helped them even more, given them more drive, more motivation, made it even better for them. Whatever the reason, whatever the purpose, whatever we get out of it, it is, I think, imperative to know the main things Imam Hussein said when he started his journey, all the way till the last day where his journey ended, those main points that he tried to make so that history would record them for all of humanity till today. So that if we want to be followers of Imam Hussein, we know exactly what he was after. 1,400 years later, we can take the principles he gave us and apply them to our lives today. Recite a salawat. Having said that, it all starts in Medina, brothers and sisters. Now, this introduction that I gave, I'm going to probably give in future nights too, because not everyone's here on the first night. You guys, mashallah, I don't know why you're coming on the first night. When I was a kid, I wouldn't go to programs on the first night. But since you've taken that time out, and I provide that introductory point, some of us aren't here, so following nights also, inshallah, I'll share a little bit of that introduction so that everyone's on the same page, so we know what's going on. Having said all of that, brothers and sisters, let us begin the journey of Imam Hussein with him. It all starts when? It all starts when they say Imam Hussein is sitting in Medina and someone comes to him, a messenger comes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, comes to him and asks him to come to the palace of the governor. What's going on? What's going on is that Muawiyah died in Shah. Muawiyah died. It's all over. 20 years of controlling the narrative of Islam. It's all over now. Muawiyah has gone to his Lord. Whatever his Lord wants to do with him, he can do with him. They come to Imam Hussein. A letter has come, O Hussein. A letter has come from Sham by Yazid bin Muawiyah. To who? To the governor of Medina, Walid bin Utbah. Now, this Walid person, he was the type that didn't want to make a lot of noise. He didn't want to get in trouble. He just wanted to do his own thing. You know what I'm saying? So he's not going to step on any toes. But the letter comes from Yazid. And Yazid is telling him, my father has died. Make sure to get bay'ah from Imam Hussein. And we all know this story. We just want to get into the words of Imam Hussein and see what he said. Yazid sends this letter to Walid. Walid receives this letter. Go and get bay'ah from Imam Hussein. Well, what was Imam Hussein doing before this? Imam Hussein was just sitting there, right? 20 years Imam Hussein was silent. Not silent as if he wasn't objecting to Muawiyah. But he wasn't rising against Muawiyah, although Muawiyah's rule was illegitimate. We all know that as Shia. What is it different that with when it comes to Yazid that he has to send another letter to get bay'ah from Imam Hussein, that and during the time of Muawiyah, it wasn't like that? Imam Hussein alayhi salam knows that he's the successor after Muawiyah. That was the whole point of staying silent. Imam Hassan signed that ceasefire with Muawiyah. He said, whoever dies first, Muawiyah or me, whoever comes after is Imam Hussein. But then Muawiyah, after Imam Hassan was martyred, he went around telling people that Yazid is the Khalifa after me. Yazid knows this, one. Two, Yazid knows that nobody likes him. Everybody in the Muslim empire, you want to call it, knows that Yazid, if Muawiyah was all right, was aight, Muawiyah, Yazid, on the other hand, is no good. So right when his dad dies, although his dad had gotten bay'ah from a lot of people before he had died, Yazid wants to make sure that he gets bay'ah from certain individuals to make sure, to solidify his rulership, his khilafah. One of those individuals is Husayn ibn Ali. And so he sends this letter to the governor of Medina, where Imam Hussein is residing. Tell Hussein, either bay'ah or death, your choice. This is not a choice that was given to Imam Hussein before Yazid. Muawiyah never put Imam Hussein on the spot like that. Yazid, on the other hand, he makes this mistake. Now there's a whole explanation to why all of this has happened. That's another story. Anyway, they say Imam Hussein was sitting in Masjid of Medina with a person by the name of that you'll hear his name a lot as we go on. Abdullah bin Zubair. You'll hear his name a lot. Some of these names, inshallah, you can remember. That'll be great. And as a kid growing up, I hated history and I hated names. But as I grew older, I started liking them. So inshallah, you guys can like him over these few nights. It's not too many names, inshallah. But this is one of them. Abdullah bin Zubair. Those of you who have watched that Mukhtar movie, I don't know how many of you have watched that Mukhtar movie. Abdullah bin Zubair is one of the great villains in that movie. You can't miss him. No pun intended. You can't miss him in that movie, mashallah. You can't miss him. He's huge there. Again, no pun intended. And in this movie, he shows his... You can easily tell what type of person he was. Wow. Now, in this part of the story, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is sitting with Abdullah bin Zubair. Because Abdullah, at the end of the day, knew who the superstar was. Abdullah bin Zubair knew that Imam Hussein is everything. But he was also one of the main guys who felt like I should be Khalifa after Muawiyah. Yeah? Who said Yazid should be Muawiyah? Yazid's a loser. Yazid's young. Yazid doesn't know anything. All Yazid cares about is partying and having a good time. Me, on the other hand, Abdullah bin Zubair, he feels that I'm the son of Zubair, the great companion of the Prophet. I myself saw the Prophet. I'm also a companion of the Prophet. Yazid never saw the Prophet. Yazid could care less about the Prophet. I deserve to be Khalifa, but there's a problem. That problem was Imam Hussein. So he was trying to get along with Imam Hussein, show that he likes Imam Hussein, waiting for the right time or right moment where he might be able to take over in the future, as you shall see as we go on in these nights. Abdullah bin Zubair is sitting, Imam Hussein is sitting. They come to Imam Hussein, they say, the governor wants to see you. Right? I'm giving context, brothers and sisters, to the words of Imam Hussein later that we're going to cover. The governor wants to see you. Right there, Imam Hussein turns to Abdullah bin Zubair and says, that أَرَى أَنَّ طَاغِيَتَهُمْ قَدْ هَلَكَ. Looks like their taghiyah, their tyrant ruler, has died. They wouldn't ever call me, come to the governor's palace. But now all of a sudden they're calling me to the governor's palace. What's going on? Imam Hussein, being the super political person he is, being able to tell what's going on, easily tells that, okay, something's going on here. It must be that Muawiyah is dead. They want bay'ah from me. So what does he do? They say he tells 30 of the Bani Hashim, a high number, 20, 30, something in that range, of Bani Hashim, these warriors, these lions of Allah, he tells them that you come with me to the palace. If you hear my voice raise up, I want you to pour inside that palace and take care of business. And we can be pretty sure that one of those 30 or 20 was who? Abul Fadl Abbas. Thousands on Ashura were running away from him. And there's like 20, 30 puny guys in the palace maybe. He'll take care of business, right? So Imam Hussein takes these Bani Hashim with him. They're standing outside waiting. Imam Hussein enters. Imam Hussein enters and this Walid bin Utbah, this governor, he says, this is the letter. This is what they want from you. What does Imam Hussein say? Imam Hussein says, give me one night to think about it. I'll get back to you. Interesting. Although Imam Hussein knows the answer to this, this is a mystery for myself. Why did Imam Hussein right there not say no? He asked for some time. Maybe he wanted to come back later and speak to Walid bin Utbah when there weren't other people around him. Whatever the reason was, once again, this mind of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is working. He says, give me some time, tomorrow I'll speak to you. And Walid, knowing Imam Hussein, when Imam Hussein makes a promise, he lives up to it. These are the enemies, right? These are the enemies of Abu Abdullah. These are the enemies of Ahl Bayt. Yet they know that Ahl Bayt, when they make a promise, they live up to it. Right there, boom. Me and you, when we hear this, we got to understand what our responsibility is in life. These basics, which unfortunately humanity has distanced itself from. These are the basics, brothers and sisters. You know, Amazon has that thing, that line of production. Production line of Amazon Basics. What's so cool about Basics? Why are they making so much money off of the Basics? Because there's so many other bad quality cables, USB ports, mouses, or mice, excuse me, All the basic things that we need to use our computers and stuff, there's so many different versions out there and they're all junk. The Amazon says, you know what? I'm going to go back to the basics. I'm going to get it right though. And before you know it, they're number one when it comes to sales of these products. It's all about basics. If you mess up in basics, the rest doesn't matter. You can't use the computer. Abu Abdullah is such a way that when he says, give me time till tomorrow, something this serious, bay'ah or death, he says, give me time till tomorrow so we discuss it. He says, okay. Governor says, you can go. So you and I also have to be such that our friends, when they share a secret with us, they trust us. They can trust us with it. That's not happening in our communities, unfortunately. Anyway, that's one lesson we take right here. Imam Hussein is about to make his way out. What happens is there's a big loser next to Walid bin Utbah, the governor. He says, hey, don't let Hussein go. Because if you let him go, you're not going to be able to get your hands on him anymore except through major bloodshed. Right now he's alone, maybe one or two people with him. Finish the job. Finish the job. Get the bay'ah or finish him. Who is this loser? Marwan bin Hakam, his name is. Why do you call him loser, Sheikh? Wait, I didn't call him a loser. Ziyarat Ashura calls him a loser. Ala Ziyadin wa ala Marwan. Not just Marwan the loser, the whole family of losers. That in Ziyarat Ashura, again and again, la'na is sent on Marwan and his sons. Who was he? That itself is another story. Who was his father? Hakam? That's another story. But yes, it's a tree, a family tree, a problematic family tree. This is Marwan bin Hakam. He's standing there. He says, don't let him go. So this is the historical sentence that Imam Hussein starts his whole journey with. How does it go? Imam Hussein gets angry. Walid's letting me go. And then who are you? The person who the Prophet kicked out of Medina with his father. Who are you? The one who everyone knows what his mother would do. Who are you? He says to Marwan, Yabna Zarqa, O son of Zarqa, that lady that would do bad things. You're telling him to kill me? Really? أَأَنْتَ تَقْتُلَنِي أَمْ هُ Are you going to kill me or is he going to kill me? Which one of you weaklings is going to kill me, Marwan? You are Walid. You lie, you sinner, you liar. Destroys them. Sometimes you got to destroy people. People who are way out there, like they're already living in Jahannam, you got to destroy them. Imam Hussein destroys him here. He says, who's going to kill me? He raises his voice. He gets angry, Imam Hussein. Anger at the right time is a blessing. At the wrong time, can get you to hellfire. We'll talk about that maybe in the future too. Especially with our parents. Anger. This is a place for anger though. Imam Hussein expresses his anger and is intimidating the enemy. What happens? The Bani Hashim that were outside, they hear this, they come rush storming into the palace. Imam Hussein said, if you hear my voice raise, then you storm into the palace because I might be in trouble. They storm in, they surround our master, Abu Abdullah, and they start escorting him out. Yeah, you don't mess with Abu Abdullah. This last of the Ala Aba, the last of the five members of the cloak, as they're escorting him out, these are the historic lines that Imam Hussein says. He says, Ayyuha al-Amir. It's as if Imam Hussein turns around and looks at the governor. He doesn't look at Marwan, looks at the governor. He says, O Amir, O governor, Inna ahlu bayt al-Nubuwa. We are the family of the Prophet, of Prophethood. Ma'dan al-Risala. The source of Risala and the message of Allah, Mukhtalaf al-Malaika, where the angels come and go. Okay, he's laying these foundations for a point he wants to make, the Imam. Bina fataha wa mahatta rahma. If Allah's mercy is going to come down on this earth, even if it's rain, brothers and sisters, it happens because there is a hujjah. There's an Imam walking somewhere on the face of this earth. Or else God has no reason to channel His grace. He can't, as if. An imam has to be existing on the face of the earth. Mahat al-Rahma is where the Rahma and the mercy of Allah lands. They are the channel through which Allah's mercy reaches us. In Ziyarat Jama'a Kabira, it says it very clearly. It says, Allah sends rain because of you, through you. It is through you that Allah doesn't let the heavens or the skies fall upon the earth, and so on. Bina fatah Allah wa bina khatam. Allah starts with us, ends with us. That means everything revolves around us. Wa Yazid. Okay, so he talked about himself. Now he's talking about Yazid. And this is where it all comes. It all goes back to what I was saying about how, okay, if I'm going to do work for Islam in this country, inshallah, which is awesome. If I'm going to do work, I have to keep these things in mind as well while I'm doing my work in this country. Or anywhere I am. Bina Khatam. Yazid, though, I'm living under the kingdom of Yazid, right? I'm serving my community, but at the end of the day, Yazid is on top. These are his characteristics. Rajulun Fasiq, one. Fasiq means the great sins. He commits great sins. Sharab al-Khamr, out of all these sins, the one that everyone knows is haram, is to drink. And he drinks. A khalifa tul muslimin. Khalifa literally means someone who replaces somebody else. Sits in the place of somebody else. Khalifa tul rasul. A person who sits in the place of the prophet is drinking. Yeah? Sometimes you commit a haram. You're not sure is it haram or not. You know, you buy meat from this place. Turns out it wasn't halal. You could tell it wasn't halal probably because it tasted so good. It's happened to me once. And so those things, okay, Allah can forgive, inshallah. I made a mistake. It was an honest mistake. Sometimes, there's no way to fix it. This is one of them. Sharib al-Khamr. Qatil al-Nafs al-Muhtarama. He takes the lives of innocent people. Innocent lives are taken by Yazid. Mu'linun bil-Fisq. He exhibits his great sins. He does them in public in front of everybody. Yeah. He tweets about it. You know what I'm saying? This is the person that I'm not going to ever work for. I'm never going to give bay'ah to, give allegiance to. I'm doing my own thing in Medina. He can do whatever he wants, but I'm not going to give allegiance to him and be under him in that sense. وَمِثْلِي لَا يُبَايِعُ مِثْلَهُ. This part is just out of this world. The imam uses two words here. مِثْلِ لَا يُبَايَعْ مِثْلَهُ. A person like me doesn't give bay'ah to a person like Yazid. Wow. Imam Hussein, just make it about you. Make it about you, O Abu Abdullah. Make it about the fifth member of the cloak of Al-Aba. Make it about that. He says, anyone who has any position like mine, and his status is like my status, should not be seen putting their hand in the hand of someone of that status. All right, so we have the highest of the high and the lowest of the low. He says the highest of the high doesn't put his hand in the lowest of the low. What do we get out of that, brothers and sisters? What we get out of that is that someone who has to do with prophethood, someone has to do with Islam, someone who has to do with good and righteousness and is moving in that direction in their life, that's their goal in life, they won't put their hand in the hand of those who are the exact opposite. Whether they are an imam, whether they're not an imam. Why does he use mithli, la yubayu'u mithla? Mithli, a person like me, of my status. Well, there's no one left after you, O Imam Hussein, out of those five individuals. What's going on here? This is a story, this is a statement that is echoing till today. Brothers and sisters, we do work, that's awesome. That's wonderful. We have to be careful. Sometimes things get to us, and before we know it, we're loving or we are relating to those who we're not supposed to relate to too much. That's just something that we have to be careful, inshallah. Recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Another point that comes out of this part of the story is that Abu Abdullah started his journey. Did he say, I want to do a revolution. It's all over, Yazid. I'm coming for you. He took the next step, the first step he had to take. The first step he had to take was that I'm not going to give bay'ah. Now, what's going to happen after that? I don't know. Well, of course, Imam Hussein knows what the end looks like, but he took the first step. Did he talk about the last step? What's happening in the end? No. Brothers and sisters, once again, what we got to do in our lives, sometimes we get caught up in the result of things. Like, we want to make sure, all right, something came up in my life. I'm in a certain situation. I don't know. Am I going to make it? Am I not going to make it? Etc. While the Imams, the Prophet, what they teach us is that take the first step. Then you'll figure out the second step, inshallah. Take the second step, third step. I don't know what's going to happen in the end. Who cares? The end is the means. The ultimate goal is how you take those steps. This is so cool. if the goal is to make sure that, you know, Yazid dies, then Imam Hussein could have used whatever Allah had given him of special powers to do whatever he wanted to do. On the day of Ashura, they say that the jinns came to his help. But he said, go, there's something that has to happen here. The ends are the means. You get what I'm saying? Musl ibn Aqil had the chance, they say, to kill Ubaidullah bin Ziyad in Kufa before Imam Hussein arrived. He could have assassinated him. He had a chance, they say. In somebody's house, Ubaidullah bin Ziyad was visiting. And he had the chance to assassinate him because Muslim Aqid was hiding behind the curtains. But he didn't. Everyone asked him later, why? Why didn't you do that? You could have finished them off. No guards, nothing. He was visiting his friend. He said, the Prophet said, a mu'min doesn't assassinate, doesn't attack from behind. But the goal, the ends, you could have stopped Ashura from happening. He says, the ends are for the means. The ends are the means. Sometimes in our centers, in our communities, let me give you another example. What happens is, to make a program function the way we want, to make it function smoothly, seamlessly, you'll find that some of the ones who are organizing the program, sometimes every now and then they'll let a lie or two slip. It's happened. I've seen it. Not only have I seen it, they've told me that, yeah, I had no choice but to lie about this or that. All right, wait a minute. Let's break this down first. We are doing programs so that we can keep the message of Imam Hussein alive. The message of Imam Hussein is a message of righteousness and taqwa and purity and the wajib and haram of Allah being upheld and observed. So we're doing all of this to learn that we shouldn't lie, but to get there, we're lying. Okay, you shouldn't take math class. We are lying so that we don't lie. Just an example. The ends are the means. The ends are the means. Allah put us in this world to see if we make a halal livelihood. Livelihood isn't the goal. Halal livelihood is the goal. That's why we can't steal, cheat, whatever, to get our hands on whatever food or money that we want to get on. Let's move on to the second story. The second saying. They say Imam Hussein alayhi salam many times when he found out that, okay, the journey is beginning. Everyone knows that there is going to be a great sacrifice. And he knows that this journey is beginning. They say he would go to the grave of his grandfather, the Holy Prophet in Medina, many times. But history has recorded two of those, what he said in two of those cases. One of them we'll cover maybe some other night. The first one, though, they say right after what happened in the palace took place, he went to his grandfather, to the grave of his grandfather, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What we have documented are a few lines that you feel like, we already know these things, Imam Hussein. Why are you saying these things? And of all people, you're saying them to your grandfather. What point are you trying to make? He goes to his grandfather, they say, and says, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. Anal Hussein ibn Fatima. I am Hussein, son of Fatima. Farkhuka wa ibn farkhatik. The son, your son, and the son of your daughter. Of course, this word farkha, it's a delicate, it's a nice word. I'm just skipping the intricacies of that word. Your son and the daughter of your son. وَصِبْتُكَ الَّذِي خَلَّفْتَنِي فِي أُمَّتِكَ. And I am the grandson that you left in your ummah as a khalifa that people have to go to, at least to learn their religion from, even if they're not going to listen to him politically. At least you go to them to learn your Islam. فَاشْهَدْ يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ. So, O Prophet, be witness. إِنَّهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ خَذَلُونِي وَلَمْ يَحْفَظُونِي. They khadaluni, they deserted me, they betrayed me. They, the people. Walam yahfaduni, they didn't protect me, they didn't take care of me the way they were supposed to. Wahadi shakwai ilayk hatta alqaq, and this is my complaint to you until I meet you, O Prophet of Allah. Imam Hussein is making very clear statements here, very obvious statements here. It shows that the people back then apparently would forget these things. One. Two. We have to also remember that Imam Hussein, don't think that Imam Hussein, what he did, would have been preserved till today if these statements hadn't been repeated again and again and again to everybody. There are cases in history where things were not boldened, things were not repeated, even the basics, even the most obvious of things. And those individuals who gave their lives, they gave their lives, lost their lives, and their memories were lost as well in history. What do I get out of this, guys? What I get out of it is that whenever I do work, inshallah, I'm going to keep reminding myself and everyone around me why I'm doing what I'm doing. Guys, we're going to be doing Ashura program this year. Program organizers, let's get together. Let's sit down and talk a little bit. Hey, let's not forget our ikhlas. Hey, let's not forget that two blocks down, there's another Ashura program. Inshallah, they're also successful. Because we're all doing it for Abba Abdullah. Now, I'm saying this not that the organizers here don't remember this or don't have this in mind. I'm just saying. The basics have to be repeated again and again so others know what it's all about. And I am also reminded of what it's all about. Shaitan is so good at what he does. As I said in the beginning, we forget the basics sometimes. Imam Hussein is reminding history, reminding everybody that, hey, this is the person they killed. It wasn't some khariji, someone who had left the religion that they killed. It was me. Until today, you see, I'm sitting here 1400 years later, reading what he said. Brothers and sisters, in London once I was there, this happens all the time. In one case I remember right now off the top of my head, the sister was telling me, that she was from one of these Arab countries. She's like, we didn't even know what Ashura was all about. You all probably know this too. Lots of the Muslims out there don't even know what Ashura, what happened on Ashura. Who is Hussein ibn Ali? The grandson of the Prophet. He was so good and righteous. Good for him. That kind of ma'rifah of him. That type of cognition of Imam Hussein. That's all. She says, I heard about him. Heard about Ashura. Boom. Before you know it, I'm Shia. Just a few lines that she read. They try to hide these things. They've tried to hide them throughout these 1400 years. We're going to also, inshallah, be the channel through which these same words are repeated again and again. Recite another salawat. How much time? And I want to end with this story now. As your salawats are getting weaker and weaker, this is also one of those nice ones, and this is also a very historical line by Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Brother and sister, once again, those of us who are active, wherever we are, these are the things we keep in mind. It says the next day, now this Marwan loser that we're talking about, Marwan sees Imam Hussein in the streets. Look at this person's mentality. Like sometimes someone knows they're wrong. Sometimes they don't know they're wrong. They're so off, but they don't know they're off. They say that's the worst. When you don't know, and you don't know that you don't know. Jahil murakkab, they call it. It's like a multifold jahil, multifold ignorance. Sometimes, what's 13 times 18? I don't know. Okay, at least you know that you don't know. Sometimes they say, what's 18 times 13? You're like, it's 14. All right, so you don't know, and apparently the way you're putting your hands on your hips, you don't know that you don't know. You're never going to try to learn what the real answer is. Marwan seems to be like that a little bit, judging from what he says. The next day he sees Imam Hussein, after all what happened last night, in the palace of the governor, he comes across Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He says, "Oh Abu Abdullah, I want the best for you. Give your allegiance to Yazid. It's better for your deen and your dunya." They should make an emoji just for this. The Marwan emoji. Like, didn't you just see what Imam Hussein said last night? Mithli la yubayi' mithl Yazid. He explained all of that. Apparently you need more explanation. What does Imam Hussein say to him? He says, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." And we all know when there's a tragedy, this line is recited, right? When they tell us that someone has died, we say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." The Quran teaches us this, that whenever a tragedy befalls those proper mu'mineen, they say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." They say it and they mean it. Here the Imam says this. Okay, who just died? Oh, Imam Hussein, who died that you're saying istirja? This line is referred to as istirja. Why are you saying istirja? Istirja is only said when someone dies. Yes, Imam Hussein explains that something is dying here. What's dying? Wa alal Islam as-salam. Goodbye, Islam. Islam is dead. If قَدْ بُلِيَتِ الْأُمَّ بِرَاعٍ مِثْلْ يَزِيدٍ. You see, again, he says مِثْلْ يَزِيدٍ. He says, if the ummah is going to be tried with and is going to bear the tragedy of having a ruler like Yazid, then Islam is gone. As-salam. And since Islam is dead, I'm saying إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Shaking Marwan a little more, like, hey, don't you get it? لقد سمعت جدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله يقول الخلافة محرمة على آل أبي سفيان. Oh Marwan, I heard my holy grandfather say that the khilafah, the caliphate, is haram, forbidden on the descendants of Abu Sufyan. So if you ever see Muawiyah, this is what the Prophet had said, if you ever see Muawiyah on my pulpit, I want you to kill him. This is while the inhabitants of Medina did see him on the pulpit of Rasulullah. Imam Hussein is telling Muawiyah, the Prophet told you guys, you people, don't let Muawiyah on my pulpit. Don't let him take the reins. And if you do, you fight him. And they did, as a matter of fact, see him climb the minbar of Rasulullah. Because Muawiyah, towards the end of his life, he came for Hajj. And they say he came for Hajj for the purpose of doing Hajj and also introducing his son as the Khalifa and getting the bay'ah from these big shots in Medina. And there they say he went up the pulpit of Rasulullah. He says, you saw him go up the pulpit. The people of Medina did see him on the pulpit of Rasulullah but didn't do anything about it. So Allah punished them with the corrupt Yazid. He explains to Marwan. He says, this is why. So if Muawiyah has no right to go up the pulpit of Rasulullah, then Yazid does not have any right at all. And that's why I'm standing up now. The lesson we get out of this before I end, and I'm going to end on this note. Brothers and sisters, Imam Hussein, look at how he said it. He said they didn't do anything about it when they were supposed to. So Allah punished them with Yazid. Punished them with Yazid. Do you know what tragedies befell the ummah in those 2 or 3, 4 years that Yazid was in power? Brothers and sisters, 3 of the greatest tragedies befell the Muslim ummah during the time of Yazid. Allah punished the people because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Imam Hussein says, Allah is punishing you with Yazid now. It doesn't matter if you're companions of Rasulullah. It doesn't matter if you're family of Rasulullah. If you're not doing what you're supposed to do, it's going to come back to haunt you. Yazid came back to haunt them. Yazid, 3 tragedies befell. One was Imam Hussein, Ashura. The year after, Mecca. One of the tragedies that befell the Muslim women, what happened in Mecca? How they set the Kaaba on fire and they were attacking the people of Mecca. Another tragedy. They attacked Medina for 3 days with the command of Yazid. And God knows what happened. This is in the 3 year span of Yazid's rule. Allah punished the people with the rule of Yazid. Why? Because they didn't listen to Rasulullah. So me and you as well, till today, the commands are still there. If the Quran keeps telling us taqwa, 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 wajib haram of Allah, listen to him, uphold his command. It's good for our akhirah, yes, but it also affects the dunya that we live in as well. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ صَلَوَاتُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ